हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
Okay, page 15. Okay, text 443. At the end of Dwapara Yuga, in the 28th Yuga cycle of Vaivasvata Manu, when the devatas requested the Lord to remove the burden of the earth, the form known as Aniruddha, who rests on the ocean, milk ocean, merged with that form in Vasudeva's heart. The Lord then appeared in the heart of Devaki. Purport. How can Krishna perform Kiridaksha Vishnu's pastimes in Braja? This verse answers, he merged into Krishna. This takes place during the Svetavaraha Kalpa. Matsya Purana confirms this. When the splendid seventh Manvantara called Vaivasvata starts during the 23rd Kalpa after the Ratantara Kalpa, called Varaha Kalpa at the end of Dwapara Yuga in the 28th cycle, Dvitiya Yuga, the son of Vasudeva, protector of the seven worlds, performer of great pastimes, will appear in three forms, Vyas, Balaram, and Krishna, for relieving the burden of the earth. This was Matsya Purana. Okay, so Kiridaksha, known in the Mahabharata as Aniruddha, at that time merged into the form of Swayam Bhagavan, who was situated in the heart of Vasudeva. Krishna then appears into the heart of Devaki. This is confirmed by Sukadeva. Thereafter, accompanied by plenary expansions, the fully opulent Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was all auspicious for the entire universe, was transferred from the mind of Vasudeva to the mind of Devaki. Devaki, having thus been initiated by Vasudeva, became beautiful by carrying Lord Krishna, the original consciousness for everyone, the cause of all causes, within the core of her heart, just as the east becomes beautiful by carrying the rising moon. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.18. Though it says Krishna appeared in the heart of Devaki, it should be understood that it was in her womb, for the devatas later prayed, O Mother Devaki, by your good fortune and ours, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, with his plenary portion, such as Balaram, is now within your womb. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.41. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Why it said that Aniruddha is
Kiridaksha
Vishnu?
Shankarshan is Mahavishnu. Then his expansion Prajumna is Garbhadakshai, and then his expansion is Aniruddha, which is Kiridaksha. Mm-hmm. So you can call him by either. It means if you're talking about the position, then it'll be Kiridakshai. If you're talking about the mood, it'll be Aniruddha. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So you could say either one. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's always like that?
Yes. Sorry, now you're starting to wonder, well, does it change? Before, the thing is that it's always the same, there is no difference. So we find out there's difference, and then is it ever the same? Yes, you know, it's always the same.
Easy path.
Hmm?
Easy path.
Yes.
And it doesn't change.
Yes.
Thank you.
Prabhasattva is first. He spends some time. No, this is just at this one. Okay. Oh, that's when the Manvantara starts. Then text 444. The Lord cared for by Devaki, the form of motherly affection, who is filled with bliss, grew like the moon within her. Then on the eighth titi of the waning moon, phase of Bhadra month, at midnight, Krishna left her heart and appeared in the delivery room while Devaki was sleeping. She and others thought that Krishna was born in the normal way. Because she went to sleep, so then she wakes up and there he is. Well,
easy.
Yeah, the easy path. Yes. Though Krishna may appear with four arms or two arms, he does not give up qualities of being Krishna with human form, since he maintains the behavior, qualities, and form of Krishna in both cases. So whether he's in Vrindavan or Mathura, then still he has those qualities of Krishna. It's just a matter of how much he manifests. Right? He'll manifest the most in Braj, so therefore it'll be the sweetest. Mathura just below that, Dwarka below that. So Dwarka is perfect. Mathura is more perfect, Braj is most perfect. But it'll still be that mood of Krishna. That's why, whether they're talking about Swayam Krishna, but we know that Krishna in Braj is the original of Swayam Krishna. But at the same time as they're referring and discussing him, whether he's in the Dwarka pastimes, Mathura pastimes, or Braj pastimes, it's the same person. Because the mood's the same. Does that make sense? But because of the devotees that he's interacting with, right, the ashray, then the mood of the the qualities that the Vishaya manifests will be different. Right? Just like the man at home is one way, with close friends is another way, with people at the office is another way. That's it. But it's the same person, same personality. Does that make sense? Like Balaram's a different personality. Like that. Mahanarayan's a different personality. Vishnu Purana says, hearing about the Yadu dynasty in which the supreme Brahman in human form called Krishna appeared, frees a person from all sins. Vishnu Purana 4.11.4. That statement defines Krishna's form with two arms. However, he appeared with four arms from the womb of Devaki. Quote, he had four arms holding the conch, club, and other weapons. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.3.9. Is this not contradictory? This verse answers, Krishnatam means that he remains the supreme Brahman with human form. How does he do this? He shows human-like behavior, tadbhava. He displays qualities like a child's ignorance, though he is omniscient, and displays a form with human powers. 448. However, the two-armed form of Krishna is considered the more important, but it is sometimes regarded as secondary because Krishna covers his powers in that form. Right? In other words, his form with two hands is more important, but for those who regard it secondary, because he manifests less of his powers in the way of, you know, the greatness. Does that make sense? You know, his majesty, his that aspect. But with the two arms, there's greater sweetness. That's why he's more important. Does that make sense? So that way, those from Vaikuntha would say the second two-armed form is secondary because he doesn't manifest all the great prowess that Mahanarayan does, which is true. But the sweetness and the interactive, the rasa, then it's greater. In spite of this, the two-armed form is still considered the principal form. The proof is the statement of Narada to Yudhishthira in the seventh canto. My dear Maharaj Yudhishthira, all of you, the Pandavas, are extremely fortunate, for the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna lives in your palace, just like a human being. Great saintly persons know this very well, and therefore they constantly visit this house. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.10.48. His question may come up, why is it that we hear of other kings, it's very rare you hear of so many personalities coming and visiting. But Yudhishthira is constantly people, are all these great sages and everything are visiting. Right? Because, you know, the Lord stays there. The Lord is there, and then the Pandavas being his eternal associates are there. So like this, and they are always arriving. This form is full of power, Param Brahma, in a human form, Manushya Lingam, but covered, Gudam. This covered Brahman with human form lives in your houses. Then, 4.9. Then Vasudev entered the house of Yashoda, placed his child there, took her child, and left. This describes what happened after birth. So even if, probably won't have much meaning. This is the, we see the origin of exiting stage left. Right. This describes what happened after the birth. 4.50. Krishna is the eternal son of both Yashoda and Devaki, from time without beginning, and appears to be born as their sons during his manifested pastimes on earth. Purport. It is said that during the pastimes on earth, Krishna was the actual son of both Devaki and Yashoda. It is the same in the spiritual world. Is it the same? Oh, it is the same in the spiritual world or unmanifest pastimes. It starts with a statement and ends with a question. So maybe what it means is you're supposed to say it like the Australians would. It is the same in the spiritual world or the manifest pastimes? Okay. This verse answers. He always remains the son of both Yashoda and Devaki, but during earthly pastimes, he appears according to the worldly method through his mother's Yashoda and Devaki. But in the unmanifest pastimes, how is it possible for the parents to maintain their parental relation with Krishna, thinking of him as their child, while simultaneously being aware that he is first the son of Devaki and later the son of Yashoda? It is because of their emotional state of love. Bhava Grahyam Ani Dhakyam. Quote, the Lord being without body is understood only by devotion, end quote. Svetasvatara Upanishad. Intense or less intense devotion of the two parents coexisting in the spiritual world can be understood to be like coexistence of different grades of lotus leaves in a bunch of lotus leaves. Right? They're all lotus leaves, but they're different. They each have their own gifts.
But how can we say that in the spiritual world Krishna is always a baby of Mother Yashoda? He always plays with the gopis. You know, it's different ages.
But they're all going on at once.
That's right.
Because they're all connected. See, all these different aspects of the realm are all connected. Because they're all part of the connected with the Yadu dynasty. Right? So then they all have the relationship. So maybe you're in the pastimes in your particular designated area, but it's not that there's not connection between your area and other areas. Does that make sense?
What I don't understand is like when in the spiritual world. Here, Krishna grows.
There, yes. He doesn't grow. No, he just stays the one. Is that a problem?
Which one?
All of them.
That's what I don't understand.
Why can't he be all of them at once? Means he's this size here and then with this group of devotees. He's the next size of the next group of devotees.
He's
the next
same. Like when he goes with the cows.
Yeah, but in one area he's always out with the cows as calves. Another area he's always out with the cows as calves, and they're bigger. So one place all his Kumara pastimes are going on. Another one it's his Pauganda. Another one is Kaishore is going on. So they're all happening at once. Your main players are in all of them, right? Because that means the Mother Yashoda will be in all of those. But the difference will be of those jivas who have a parental relationship with Krishna and prefer a particular age are just in that age group. Does that make sense?
So they see him always in
always
that
age.
Age.
Yeah. then she's in all these different pastimes. But the point is in the one pastime, she's only seeing that aspect. Okay. You know, so it's visesha. Yes. That's why it's a chintya. That aspect is there. So all it is they can be discussed to give an indication, but get into the detail. That's not the kind of element that's important. One has to know what's important, what's not. Like that. So that's not so important. That's what he said. There's the important element. There's the more important element. Not that anything about Krishna is not wonderful. It's just that certain elements are not that important. You know, it's just like we're worried about 8,400,000 species only because we understand that's the cycle that we go through if we're not God conscious. Like that in devotion. So then that's the cycle. But the exact number and how this and that, that's not what's important. We understand the proportions. You know, it says some of 3,000 are beasts and 400,000 are humans and like this. But other than that, then it's not that we get into that technical detail there, because it's not specifically going to engage you in the Lord's service. Unless you're doing something with it, then it doesn't become prominent. Does that make sense? During the manifest pastime, Sukadeva said that Krishna appeared in both wombs, but he mentions Devaki's womb clearly and Jashoda's womb indirectly. That was the Lord's intention. In the section on Krishna's appearance, it is said, because it's supposed to be seen that way, right? That he's the son of Devaki. Because if that's there, then at the same time, he is technically, on the legalistic point of view, he's not part of Braja. He's borrowed, right? So that adds to the parakeya flavor, because Braja is parakeya. But that means everybody has that sense of parakeya, because he's actually from Mathura. He's not from Braj. But you have that aspect, so it'll bring that out. At the same time, is that Braja Krishna doesn't leave Braja. That mood never leaves Braja. The person may go, but that mood doesn't go. So therefore, then it's very natural that he appears in Braja also. So then when that happens, Krishna from Mathura, when he comes, then merges into Krishna in Braj. It is said, quote, then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who is situated in the core of everyone's heart, appeared from the hearts of Jashoda and Devaki in the dense darkness of night, like the full moon rising on the eastern horizon. Because Jashoda and Devaki were of the same category as Sri Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.3.8. So they're in the same transcendental plane. Because Devakyam, okay, purport, can mean from Jashoda and from Devaki, the verse indicates both women. At midnight, with darkness spread around, when Krishna made his appearance from Jashoda, he also appeared from Devaki, daughter of Devaka, and the Harivamsa is also said. Devaki and Jashoda both gave birth at the same time, prematurely during their eighth month of pregnancy, Harivamsa 2.4.11. Thus, Krishna was the son of both women. It cannot refer to Durga because Durga was born after, says Sukadeva says. Because someone may say, well, one was one and one was the other. Thereafter, exactly when Vasudeva, being inspired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was about to take the newborn child from the delivery room, Yogamaya, the Lord's spiritual energy, thereafter, exactly when Vasudeva, being inspired by the Supreme Personality, was about to take the newborn child from the delivery room, Yogamaya, the Lord's spiritual energy, took birth as the daughter of the wife of Maharaj Nanda. Therefore, she is called the younger sister of Krishna. Thus, first Krishna was born to Jashoda and Devaki, and a little later, Durga was born to Jashoda. But this was not seen either by Vasudev when he entered Jashoda's house or by Jashoda. The word Deva Rupinyam indicates that both Devaka and Jashoda were spiritual beings. From such a womb, one could not think that an ordinary person would be born. From a jeweled pavilion, one would not expect a common king to appear. Pushkala means he who is born as the complete form. Quote, exhausted by the labor of childbirth, Jashoda was overwhelmed with sleep and unable to understand what kind of child had been born to her. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.3.53. So Krishna was very clever. So both Devaki and Jashoda were both asleep when he appeared.
So they are not fully aware about that it is Krishna who is happening.
No, like that. Because otherwise, then Krishna is there with Devaki, then he appears from her heart, and then he just appears outside. Yes. So he didn't actually go through the regular birth process. But because Devaki was asleep, then she thought that's what happened. Right, because that's normally what happens. It's like, you know, you don't expect that something else will happen. You know, it's like the mother is there and then starts to feel contractions and starts to, you know, feel bad and that, and then suddenly the kid, you know, standing there, don't worry about it, Mom. You'll be fine. Fine, right? You know, so it's not going to. Yeah. So therefore, Mom's asleep. Otherwise, how do you have that whole mood? That's part of the movie. So, yeah. In other words, mystical elements will be used, but nobody sees them that way. Like this mystical element Krishna is using, he's picking up Govardhan Hill, like that. You know, nobody worries about that kind of thing. You know, nobody's noticing that nobody's eating, sleeping, drinking for 7 days. But that's what's going on. Or the gopis are dancing with Krishna one night of Brahma. But, you know, no one notices these things. So the mystical element is there in the human pastimes. You don't notice it as mystical. Like that. You know, like Krishna goes into Agasura and then expands, right? And then, you know, does things like this or makes his head. And it's just that's what he does. So, but nobody's thinking that it's mystical. No one's worried about it. And they're saying it doesn't distract from the standard human pastimes. Because of the affection, then it's not noticed. Does that make sense? So just like when affection is so great, then faults are not noticed. But at the same time, his greatness is not noticed either. Right? So that they go together. Does that make sense?
Only reciprocation.
Yes, it's only reciprocation. So that's it. It's that particular rasa is being tasted. So then there's no problem. There's no anxiety about that. The Varaha Kalpa means in the when the splendid seventh Manvantara called Vaivasvata starts during the 23rd Kalpa. You're talking about the days of Brahma. After the Ratantara Kalpa called Varaha Kalpa at the end of Dwapara Yuga in the 28th cycle Divya Yuga, the son of Vasudeva, protector of the seven worlds, performer of great pastimes, will appear in three forms, Vyas, Balaram, and Krishna, for relieving the burden of the earth. Right. So here, that's where you always see reference to the kalpas. Like that. So it's if you're working on this level, discussion about kalpas is very common. We're just not so used to it. Like that, because it doesn't come up as much.
Is that what you were referring to this morning? Is that
yes.
Kalpa Beta?
Yeah, Kalpa Beta just means this, because the pastimes go on and on, just like when Ramachandra, when he went down to the ocean, and then he has to cross the ocean to Lanka, then everybody there, for them, it's this is first time around that they're performing these pastimes. So most of them there are. So then, but the Jambavan, he's Chiranjeev. So he's been around since the beginning of the creation. He was so powerful in that he would just run around and everything and do that I forget, somebody cursed him to be old. But he's super powerful and all that. But he's just, you know, so that way he doesn't move around so much. And Hanuman also, he was going nuts with his power. So someone cursed him that he would not remember his power unless someone reminded him. So he thinks he's just another monkey. Because otherwise, when he knows how much power he has, it makes he was, you know, a monkey. He makes trouble. So Jambavan, when he was there, and it was worked out that they would take mountaintops and write the name of Rama on them and float them to make the bridge, Jambavan was jumping up and down and describing how in other times when Ramachandra came to perform the pastime, he had made the bridge in this way or that way, or this is how he got the Lanka, or he went in that way. And he was describing all the different ways how the Lord had performed the pastime. Yes?
That's an interesting point. I was just down at Dallas Cote.
Sorry?
I was at the place where the bridge starts.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yes, yes.
So, there's a little temple there, and they have a rock that's floating, and it's coral.
Coral. Oh.
That's a rock with holes in it, so it floats.
Okay.
The satellite photos show the bridge. Right. Even the Muslims, they call it Adam's Bridge. You know, leave it to the Muslims to try to obscure it, but at least they recognize the antiquity of it.
Yes.
So the bridge is there, and it was actually above water up to the 1700s. The bridge was actually still there. So we hear the floating rock thing. Does it have to really be floating rocks? I mean,
why
the bridge is there.
But why wouldn't it be floating? What's wrong with floating?
Well, it seems the government of India was going to plow a trench through it so they could have some shipping, and there was some resistance to that.
No. But I'm saying, what's the problem with a floating bridge? I mean,
well, the bridge is there. It's
But now it's sunk.
Okay. So you're saying that
because the thing is the bridge is 800 miles long. We only catch this end. When it's Lanka, what they call Lanka, that's an island on the way to Sri Lanka where Ravana lived. That Lanka that's there now, that's Ceylon. I mean, is that? Yes, Ceylon. Ceylon. That's Ceylon. Because there were warriors from there at the Battle of Kurukshetra. You know, the Ceylonese, or the Sinhalese, I think they're what they're called. And so that's there, but that's just an island on the way there. That's not Ravana's kingdom. It's 800 miles out into the ocean. Yeah, it's 800 miles. It's 100 yojanas. That's why when they wanted to find out what was the place, then it was the discussion about how to get there, because it's out in the middle of the ocean. So all the monkeys were talking how many yojanas they could jump. Some could jump 10, some 20, some 30, some 50, but no one could jump 100. And so then once it was worked out and no one could do it, then Jambavan started telling Hanuman about his own power.
So the math with you, it's 8 miles physically from the tip of Nandas Koti to the tip of Sri Lanka.
Yes, but it's 800 to where Ravana was.
Huh. Never heard that one before.
Well, that's standard. That's just Ramayana. It's 100 yojanas.
So that you just do the math and it comes out 800 miles.
Right. A yojana is 8 miles. 100 times 8 is 800. Because Bibhishan was giving the blessings by the Lord that the place wouldn't be able to be seen. There's a problem with it. The place was built by Kubera. So that automatically means it's immensely wealthy. That's why Ravana decided that this is going to be the place for him to live. So then afterwards, then the problem, Bibhishan was worried about people coming and disturbing because, you know, Kali Yuga is coming and all that. So he was giving the blessings that can't be seen. So, but it's down there. So it's a little farther then.
Well, that kind of throws me into another dimension.
But just the point is the Shastra is there, so that's the dimension.
Well, isn't it interesting that the island that's 8 miles with the bridge is actually called Sri Lanka? Isn't that interesting?
The call, like it means Rajneesh was called Bhagavan. Isn't that interesting? You know what I'm saying? Good people call all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Like that. So the point is, the Shastra says 800 miles. It's 800 miles. That's just the way it is.
Yes. And you were describing how it's not just a vague reference, but with the discussion of who can jump
it. Yeah, yeah, because that was the whole point. Who could jump 100 yojanas? Because the point is someone has to go to see if Sita's there. Then Hanuman goes there. He sees us there. Okay, now how do you get the army there? Then they have to make the bridge.
Like that. And Sampatu, he could see the Ashok forest from the coast of India, right?
Yeah, because he's a buzzard. They have good eyesight.
Right.
Yeah.
8 miles. That I can appreciate that. But 800 miles.
See, the thing is if you want to appreciate through your the limited material senses and mind, you're always going to be thrown off and always going to be shocked because you're talking about what's achintya, what's beyond the capacity of the intelligence to actually grasp. Because you're dealing with chit potency here. And chit potency is completely separate from the material potency, which is made of the three modes. Because the intelligence is born from the mode of passion. That's in creation, that's where it comes from. And it does mathematical calculations on what is different and what's the same. That's all it can do. And the mind, it's going to decide what things will be calculated depending upon your samskar, your previous background. So it will choose what things it's willing to analyze and what things it isn't. So one is always, the scientific mind therefore is always limited. But if one accepts the Shastra as the authority, then these things are revealed and one is actually able to understand it and see it. But it's only by the Lord's grace. Since Krishna is the Shastra, you can only understand the Shastra by His grace. So that's why Krishna Prabhupada opens the introduction to Gita with the spirit, understanding the spirit, then you'll be able to catch and understand what Gita says. So that's the whole thing. Because if desire is there, then need will be there, so action is follows. Does that make sense? That's why the scientists, then they get all bent out of shape by these things. Because they're trying to fit it into their standard way of looking. That's the Vedic, then you're working on authority coming down from higher levels of those who have seen or who are on that level, whose senses aren't prone to, mistake. And so we accept that authority. It's so much easier. You know, it's just like, you know, your father or mother tells you, do like this, because if you don't, it's not going to work out. But of course, the teenager has to do it themselves, and it doesn't work out. Then you accept the authority. You know, that's on a good day. You know, so then it works nicely. So that's why the acharyas, both Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami, at the opening of these technical treatises, the first thing they do is simply establish the authority of the Veda. And they don't just say it in one verse. They take many, many, many pages like that. I don't know, was it 10, 20, 30 pages Jiva Goswami spent? Just establishing about what is Shruti, what is authority, who comes from, how it's there, how the Veda is the supreme authority, all these different things just to establish that. Once that's established, then he shows how Bhagavatam is more important of all the Vedic literatures. But that's otherwise, because then that's how we will do it. If it's not within my experience, then I will have a problem with it. That's just the way the human nature works. So that's why we're trying to go beyond human nature, you know, to the supramundane. Then it can be caught, because the soul can go beyond. The spiritual intelligence can go beyond. Material intelligence can't. So one has to depend on spiritual intelligence. Then these things become easily understandable. Is material intelligence. It's made out of the material element of intelligence. So it's not going to understand what's beyond. Is that okay?
Yes. In the Ramayana is the discussion amongst the birds about who could see that far.
Right.
And it specifically says that I could see it because I could see 100 yojanas.
Yes.
Which is the same distance again. Same this distance. Type of bird can see 80, this one 10.
Yeah.
But I can see 100. It operates the same distance.
Yes.
Therefore, she's called the younger sister.
Okay. Jashoda, like Devaki, looking at the features of Krishna, could understand that he was the Supreme Lord. But did Jashoda not understand that she had given birth to a girl child also, and that Vasudeva had in front of her taken the girl and exchanged the son and left? She did not know about the exchange. The reason she did not understand is given. Quote, she was exhausted. In Adi Purana, it is clearly said by Narada, Nanda Gopa Grihe Putro Jashoda Garbha Sambhava. A son was born from the womb of Jashoda in the house of Nanda. It is said elsewhere that Krishna was Jashoda's son, and we should accept the direct meaning of such statements. Quote, Nanda Maharaj was naturally very magnanimous, and when Lord Sri Krishna appeared as his son, he was overwhelmed by jubilation. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.5.1. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Mother Jashoda, is accessible to devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service. But he is not as easily accessible to mental speculators, to those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penance, or those who consider the body the same as the self, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.9.21. However, when Devaki spoke to Kamsa, she was trying to hide the fact that her son's birth by saying the eighth child was a daughter. It cannot be taken literally. Sukadeva Goswami continued, piteously embracing her daughter and crying, Devaki begged Kamsa for the child. But he was so cruel that he chastised her and forcibly snatched the child from her hands. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.4.7. But why did Sukadeva not state the birth of Krishna from Jashoda directly? One should accept it as the Lord's intention. Quote, I will appear in the house of both Nanda and Vasudeva. I will, however, remain only in Nanda's house with one form. If I have two forms, Kamsa will know that I have taken birth and will persecute both sets of parents. You, Sukadeva, should recite my story so that the secret is not revealed. End quote. This is the intention of the Lord. Accepting the Lord's desire, the author wrote the work accordingly. Text 451-454. Having made his appearance in the world with a festival arranged by Nanda, Krishna then reveals all his manifested pastimes in sequence, starting with his childhood pastimes, which he also performs by the millions in unmanifest form. Because the manifest will be that specific one at the time, and you're seeing it in sequence. The other ones, all these things are all going on at once because it's the spiritual world. And just as you have all the different pastimes happening together, then they're all going on at one time. Yeah. In Braja, Krishna enacts various joyful pastimes, which give bliss to his devotees and bewilder even himself. The Lord at all times identifies himself as son of Jashoda and Nanda with incomparable affection. Some devotees of ancient times say that Vasudeva, the first member of the Chakravyuha, appeared in the house of Vasudeva, and the supreme performer of pastimes, Lila Purushottama, appeared in the house of Nanda along with Yogamaya. Purport. Another opinion concerning Krishna as the son of Vasudeva and Nanda is presented. Adya means the first member of the Chaturvyuha, Vasudeva. 455. When Vasudeva went to Gokula and entered the delivery room of Jashoda, he saw only a daughter, and taking her, he left for Mathura. The son of Vasudeva, the Chaturvyuha Vasudeva, then merged into the son of Nanda, Lila Purushottama. Because it is very confidential, it's not mentioned directly in the text, but is indicated by Sukadeva in some incidental remarks, such as the following statements. Thus in the 10th canto it is said, generous Nanda became overjoyed with the birth of his son, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.5.1. Purport. Atmaja means he was born from Nanda and Jashoda. Because right? In the English you may be able to take it in two ways, but in the way it's in the Sanskrit, then it works, you know, it's more specific. So, in other words, it's already been given in the one perspective. It hasn't been said in a particular way and now there's a contradiction. It's presented in a certain way so that one comes to that conclusion. But as he goes through, these other indications are there. So those who understand the underlying element, then they're able to bring this out in the purport. Right? And so then you're able to catch the subtleties of when he says this, it means that, when it says like this. But in general, since you've already understood it in one way, even if there's something that would indicate something else, you won't take it in that way. You won't interpret it in that way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's like, yeah. 458. Also there is said, simple Nanda took his son, who had returned from death. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.6.43. There also it is said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, the son of Mother Jashoda, is accessible to devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service, but not to the materialists. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.9.21. There also, Brahma in his prayer says, I offer prayers to you, the son of the king of the cowherd, who wears garlands of various forest flowers and leaves, and is equipped with a herding stick, a buffalo horn, and a flute. You stand beautifully with a morsel of food in your hand. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.1. Pashupa Anga Jaya means under the person born from the cowherd Nanda. Does that make sense?
So, the different.
Right, does that make sense? So, in other words, if he wasn't born to Nanda, why use Pashupa Anga Jaya? You know. Then they would just say, son of Nanda, or these other ones that would just indicate the relationship or mood. But here he uses Pashupa Anga Jaya, that he's born from. Does that make sense? Yes, go ahead.
So the different understanding that we can get depends on our intention with Krishna.
Yes. Means the whole, because the whole thing is relationship, so it depends upon the mood. So if the intention is affection, you're going to see in one way, right? And depending upon that affection, then it'll have the subdivisions of the four, five rasas, right? But if the intention's not affection, then he'll appear in other ways. He's also known as jnana, his knowledge, right? So to the yogis, he appears as jnana. To the impersonalist, as Brahman. Right, all yogis also as Paramatma. Right, so that's why we see these verses where it mentions all these different ways that people saw him, because that's how they wanted to know him. Right? It's just like if I'm in control, right? Then because it's a problem of maintaining that control, if anyone does something I don't like, I will get very upset with it. Now with us, that's because we're not actually in control. So it's natural we'll be insecure about our position of authority. Because at any moment it can be lost by others, how they deal. Right? But for Krishna, he is God. It's not a matter of that it's a judgment call or how you see it or that's your opinion or anything. It's that he is the Shaktiman and everything is his Shakti. So for someone who's that well situated, it means he is situation. Right? It's not that he's well situated, he is the situation. So then there is nothing that can disturb that. It's not even that there's an option that it could have, it just doesn't, it's because he is the origin. Therefore, to him it's not a disturbance that the living entity does not accept his authority. He saddens him in that you can't have the proper relationship, so therefore the living entity is not on the proper level of happiness that he would naturally be on. Right? So therefore, in the material world, there's a soberness, right, in the relationship between the living entity and Paramatma. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then, how do we get into that? You start going down these really fine things, and you know, example to make it, take it home, then forget, why did I give that example? What did we start with? Oh, okay. Oh, no, affection. But then affection... Okay, yes, the reciprocation. So therefore, then if someone is feeling that that's how... So therefore, the supreme authority or God, he would feel the same. Therefore, then he presents that he's the jealous God. Because that's how we can relate to him. Because otherwise, if we at all thought he wasn't jealous, then we could do whatever he wants and nothing's going to happen. You know, it doesn't matter. We wouldn't. But if you think I do something wrong and there's, you know, a little thunderbolt waiting there with my name on it, you know, then you know what I'm saying? So then we're more careful. So it's by the mood of the people. That's how he's seen. But otherwise, you're only dealing with one person. Yes.
And everybody is afraid of that on the general level, not in the relationship of.
Sridham's not exactly. Hey, Sridham's not. Sudham. Hey, we can wrestle with you. We can beat you in a fight.
If we take the modern religions?
The world religions are all afraid of God because it's based on fear. Everything's based on fear. Because you're not getting to, it doesn't come up to the platform of Varnashram. So it's below Varnashram, it's within the realm of Artha, so it's gain and safety. So there's always that element of safety. So you turn to God for gain and safety. So the religion's based on these two, so naturally. Because we're not afraid of the material world, meaning that us as the soul is the problem, and therefore we would be more comfortable situated in the spiritual world. We're afraid of what the material world can do to the nice situation I either have got or want to get. That's what we're afraid of. So it's slightly different. It doesn't get off the platform of Artha.
Nanda and Yasoda, the eternal parents of Krishna.
Yes. But also the Devaki and them are also.
But they're jivas.
Because there's all these different pastimes of where else, Kasyapa, there's so many other forms. But you can say that the origin of the parental rasa will be Mother Yasoda and Nanda Baba. So Mother Yasoda is, you could say, she's the head of those in that rasa. So even other parents of the Lord will respect Mother Yashoda. Like that. Just like Radharani is the original in the conjugal rasa. But, you know, so therefore the queens of Dwarka, Lakshmi and Vaikuntha, they're all purics, but expanding from her. Everybody, every clone comes out there.
They are different person. Devaki is not expansion of Krishna.
Even if she's an expansion, but she's the personality is different.
Okay.
You understand? Because there's always going to have to be some variety of expansion element because that potency has to be there. So that parental potency must be there. But now, out here, the Prabhu mentioned if they're jivas, then that means it's just that potency is there. So they become avesha, empowered by that. Does that make sense? Just like Indra, he's empowered with that potency of the original associate Indra, who is in Vaikuntha, he is coming from, and then there's all those rings, because Indra's out like on the seventh ring of associates. So it all goes back until it gets back, and ultimately it goes back to Lakshmi. Like that. So they're always expanding, so in the same, like that. You know, just like us, we're individual personalities, though we're an expansion of the Tathasta Shakti. Mm-hmm. that. So that the point is Krishna's conscious, therefore all the expansions from him are conscious. Right? But just as a matter of, is the expansion in energy or is the expansion in Shaktiman?
Yes.
Right? In Shaktiman, then they're all Vishnu Tattva. So Krishna can be conscious of all of that if he wants or not. Just depends for the pastime. Because for a particular pastime, you don't have to be aware of what's happening in another pastime. Because you're already there.
Yes. Yes.
Like that. That's why he's in his own category, because he can do all these things. Right. 461. These persons quote the statement in the Yamala. Krishna, who is also born in the Yadu dynasty as Vasudeva, being Swayam Bhagavan and superior to that Vasudeva form, never gives up Vrindavan to go elsewhere. There he always has two arms and never four. Eternally he plays with the gopis there. Purport. This idea that Krishna never left Braj at all, only his Vasudeva expansion went, is not agreeable to the author, right? The author being Rupa Goswami. If this were so, then there would be no real pain of separation of the inhabitants of Braja for Krishna. And his sending Uddhava to Braja with a message, the inhabitants of Braja going to Kurukshetra to visit Krishna, and Krishna going to Braja from Dwarka to meet the inhabitants, would be meaningless. One cannot resolve this issue by saying that because Krishna contains the Chaturvyuha within himself, he can thus go to Mathura in Chaturvyuha form, and then return to Braja from Dwarka. For this would contradict the statement of the Yamala, which says that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan at all. Right, so you have to deal with all these at once. It's the same person. There may be different moods. It's not a different person. Does that make sense? Krishna and Mathura, Krishna and Dwarka are not a different person. They're the same person. It's just the moods he manifests in Braj will not be seen in Mathura or in Vrindavan. I mean in Dwarka.
So did he leave or no?
Means the person leaves, but that mood stays. He's there, it's called the acharyas, I think, use the term bhava for him. Does that make sense? So, doesn't make sense. Means it's like this, is that Krishna is, let's say Krishna is in Nandagaon and Radharani is in Yavat. So, has Krishna left Vrindavan? No. But can Radharani directly appreciate Krishna's association? No, because of the distance. So therefore there's the mood of separation. You understand? So separation is there whether he's in Vrindavan or has gone outside. Point is if there's any difference. But the point being is that he can't physically be there in Vrindavan and then there's a separate form that is performing the pastimes in Dwarka. Because then you won't get the element of separation.
Right.
Means Krishna himself leaves and goes to Dwarka, though the mood may not go, just the mood stays in Vrindavan, that bhava form, but it's still going to be separation. Because if the gopis remember Krishna, Mother Yashoda remembers Krishna, he's there. So they have the association, but at the same time as he's not physically there. So he gets the intensity, but it's different. So therefore that's the bhava, the aspect.
And when Radharani finally meets up with him in Kurukshetra, it's union and separation.
Yes, because he's there, but he can't manifest the mood. It's just like when the boy and girl meet each other around in a place where they can't interact, then it's more painful than if they weren't together at all. If they were, she was in her house, he was in his house. Because you're there, you want to interact, but you can't because the mood can't be manifest. Like that. So that's Kurukshetra. That's the specialness of that. That's separation in association. So that's even more excruciating. That's where Lord Chaitanya went to Puri. Because then that mood of separation can be tasted. See, because this is being given because it makes it easy to understand. Right? That if I say, okay, well, Vasudeva is born there, and his, but Rupa Goswami is saying is, no, it won't work like that, because then you won't be able to get the feeling of separation. Like that. So, in other words, that aspect is there, but that's not the actual main principle. This is an underlying aspect. Like, all the forms are in Krishna. Right? All the various avatars, everybody's there. When Swayam Krishna comes, they're all there. Like that. Because all the qualities of all the avatars, that's what's in Swayam Krishna. Swayam Krishna is the sum total. It means it is the manifestation of all the qualities of Godhead. And so they're in their perfect balance. Each one has this little spot where it functions. And in that, then, it's perfectly tasted. Then you take one aspect of that, or a combination of that, and make that as the primary. Then you have actually another incarnate, an avatar, an expansion. Like that, because the mood then is different, and it's focused on one thing. Like the Sringadeva is focused on anger towards those bothering the devotees. Right? So that's the past tense. It's all about that. When we think of the Sringadeva, how he protects the devotees and all.
So if we really understand the proper mood of each, it is the main avatars of Krishna, like Nrsimha and Ram, so we will always go to Lord Nrsimhadev for protection, we will never go to Krishna.
But who's contained within Krishna?
Nrsimhadev.
Yeah, so then you can deal with Krishna.
But if there are different rooms, and if you're a connoisseur, you want to try appropriate ones.
Yes, but you're talking. It just depends upon who you're talking to, who you're dealing with. If you're standing in front of Madhava, you'll talk to Madhava. Standing in front of Srinivasa, you talk to Srinivasa.
What I meant is just to talk differently.
The topic's different. It's a different topic.
So,
yes.
By extension, all the incarnations, if I'm understanding this correctly, I mean, Prabhupada would sometimes use Vishnu and Krishna interchangeably.
Yes.
And so it's Krishna expressing himself in different moods.
Yes.
The sum total of all the moods is found within Swayam Bhagavan.
Yes. Yes. Because it's just. Because each mood in itself is perfect, so then he has expansions that he tastes those specific moods. The same times he tastes them in a nice combination in Krishna. You know, it's just like when the gopis come, right? When he plays the fruit, they first come. So then, what does he start talking? Blase, Dharma, you know, you're women, you have the night, you're married, this is not good, this and that. So that's the aspect, like, you know, Ramachandra talks about Dharma, he talks about these things like that. But he's only doing it because it's fun, it's for the pastime. Okay. So each thing has its just little spot where it fits. Because if you're dealing with unlimited, then you have plenty of time to bring this one out, then that. You don't have to worry that there's not going to be enough time to try it. You know, it's not like you have a cookbook and you have a week. You know, you have eternity. You know, there's plenty of time.
He calls that unity in diversity.
Yes. Actually, Krishna in manifest form went to Mathura, hiding the fact that he was the son of Nanda, and maintaining that he was the son of Vasudeva. There he sometimes has two arms, and sometimes four arms. The author begins to resolve the issue here. Right? Do you understand? The other is that he never leaves Vrindavan, right? So therefore, Vasudeva Krishna, he went to Mathura, and Vasudeva Krishna is who's born in Mathura. And so then he comes back and merges in Krishna, in the pastimes there, but then when it's the time for the Mathura pastimes, then the Vasudeva aspect goes. That's the one presentation, right? So now Rupa Goswami is addressing that.
That's what Yamala.
The Vishnu Yamala, is that what it was? Then it mentions that, but so then how you understand that? Now that's what's being discussed. Right? Actually, Krishna, okay. Krishna covers up the fact that he's the son of Nanda to increase the bliss of his relatives in Mathura. He reveals himself as the son of Vasudeva. Text 464. Krishna, protecting the Yadus, performed pastimes in Mathura and then went to Dwarka and revealed pastimes there. There he revealed the form of Prajumna, the third member of the Chaturvyuha, from whom the fourth member of the Chaturvyuha, Aniruddha, appeared. In Dwarka, the pastimes of the four members of the Chaturvyuha, such as marriage, were displayed. Purport. Krishna reveals himself as Vasudeva in Dwarka. Along with Balaram, Sankarsana, and Prajumna and Aniruddha, they constitute the Chaturvyuha. Because in Vrindavan, then Krishna is Vasudeva, Prajumna, and Aniruddha. Right? And those moves of attractiveness, performing pastimes, and being the goal of one's attention. Right? Govinda, Gopinath, Madan Mohan, like that. But when they go to Dwarka, then they manifest as four individuals. 467. In the manifest pastimes on earth, the inhabitants of Braja experienced the pain of separation for 3 months. However, at that time, there appeared something similar to his presence to give them bliss. Then, after 3 months, Krishna met with them directly. How did Krishna, enjoying in Mathura, adjust with the inhabitants of Braja, whose very lives were dedicated to Krishna? For 3 months, they were submerged in the fire of separation. Even during that time, for 3 months, they maintained their lives by his vispurti, by tasting the bliss of separation. Vispurti means a special appearance, which was similar to his actual presence. The happiness generated by separation from him could cause an increased happiness of meeting with him later. This was the reason for the manifestation of separation in the inhabitants of Braja. Then, 3 months later, he came back to meet them through a sudden appearance. Text 468. Thus, meeting with Krishna is of two types: through unexpected appearance after 3 months, and through returning many years later. The sudden appearance, avirbhava. Out of great ignorance, Krishna will unexpectedly appear in front of his beloved devotees, whose hearts have been extremely exhausted due to separation. Ever since they heard the message of Krishna delivered by Uddhava, Krishna became present in Braja. Purport. How long after his departure did this appearance take place? Uddhava came to Braja 3 months after Krishna had departed. From that time Krishna became present. Footnote 1. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in his 10th canto commentary that Krishna returned from Mathura in a form that remained invisible to others. In another form, which was visible to all, he remained in Mathura and then went to Dwarka. By his Achintya Shakti, Krishna also had the inhabitants of Braja appear in invisible forms to reunite with him when he returned to Braja. When Krishna returned visibly after killing Dantavakra, the invisible forms merged. Okay. Text 471. That Krishna, while situated in Dwarka, was also present in Braja, is stated in the Vishnu Purana and other scriptures many times. After making his appearance and performing pastimes in Braja, the inhabitants of Braja took his previous departure to Mathura as some sort of bad dream. Purport. After his sudden appearance and performance of pastimes, what did the inhabitants think of his going to Mathura? Krishna will never give us up and go elsewhere. The perception of his going to Mathura was only a dream. So they just thought they had a bad dream.
Is that the Srimad? You're in the Srimad?
Yes. So when he came back, then they just felt it was a bad dream because he had never left.
Why wouldn't Bhagavatam then didn't mention this remark?
Bhagavatam is bringing out the essential points, so it's all there in seed form. That's where all these things are being gotten from. But it's not as much revealed. That's why then the acharyas, then they bring out literatures that show further detail. Because you have to remember, one is why cut down the Bhagavatam from being so much bigger, down to 18,000 verses. Right? One is there's a certain amount of volume of things we can handle, and two, there's only a certain amount of time to talk to Sukadeva Goswami, and the two match. What could be spoken in 7 days is how much we can handle. Does that make sense? And so the acharyas bring out little more detail in other places, right, in their works. So this is one of them. So we're starting to get more detail. Because it's not that something's being revealed that's not there, it's just expanding on points that are already made, but are just in seed form. Text 473. The actual term, agamanam, after giving an experience of prema to his relatives, and considering the fulfillment of his promise to return to Braja, Krishna then returned there on his chariot. Now the visible return is described. Text 474. So in other words, he came before in an invisible form, so that they could feel his presence. Right? Or they could see, but others couldn't see like that. In the 10th canto, Krishna makes a promise. As he departed, that best of the Yadus now saw how the gopis were lamenting, and thus he consoled them by sending a messenger with his loving promise, I will return. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:39-35. So even this is 5,000 years old.
I shall return.
Yeah. While going to Mathura. Yeah. While going to Mathura, Krishna uttered these words to the gopis from far off. Quickly I will return. Text 475. He also says, now you should all return to Braja, dear father. We shall come to see you. Our dear relatives who suffer in separation from us, as soon as we have given some happiness to your well-wishing friends. Purport. He said the same words to his father, Nanda. Text 476. These same words became more certain through the words of his dear friend, Uddhava. Purport. The statement coming from the mouth of Uddhava made the message even clearer. 477. Uddhava said, having killed Kamsa, the enemy of all the Yadus, in the wrestling arena, Krishna will now surely fulfill his promise to come to you by coming back. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:46-35. These are Uddhava's direct words. This implies he would return quickly. Text 479. Keeping his promise is confirmed by the words of the people of Dwarka in the first canto. O lotus-eyed Lord, whenever you go away to Mathura, Vrindavan, or Hastinapur to meet your friends and relatives, every moment of your absence seems like a million years. O infallible one, at that time our eyes become useless as if bereft of sun. And so Rupa Goswami is bringing out the point that he does leave and go from one realm to the other. Right? Otherwise, then how is it that each one is having this point of separation? So he is going. Purport. The words of the inhabitants of Dwarka confirm that Krishna kept his promise to return. Because they said, or when you leave here and go to Vrindavan. So that means they're saying he does go back to Vrindavan. Yes.
Can we say that only Krishna returns to Vrindavan in his upper form, only to Vrindavan? He doesn't do like that in Dwarka and Mathura?
It didn't mention that. But the point is because we're discussing this difference between Mathura and... Because Mathura, they're definitely saying he leaves. Vrindavan, he leaves, but then when he comes back, then they think he actually didn't leave. It was just a bad dream, because Krishna would never leave. So a slight difference. You can see the depth of affection is so much greater. forth. The words of the inhabitants of Dwarka confirm that Krishna kept his promise to return. Krishna tells the truth. He keeps his word. This is understood from Krishna's statement to Narada in Harivamsa. Quote, O sinless one, O Brahmana, the words spoken by me previously are not untrue. End quote. In the Namastotra in the Brahmanda Purana, it is said, Satyavak Satya Sankalpa. The Lord speaks truth and is true in fulfilling his vows. Since he never at any time says anything untrue, how could he speak something untrue to his dearmost devotees? The statement of the inhabitants of Dwarka indicate Krishna's real conduct. Quote, O lotus-eyed one, when giving us up, you go off to the Kurus with a desire to see your friends, the Pandavas, or when you go off to the land of the Madhus with a desire to see your friends Nanda and others. For us, one moment is equal to 10 million years. Just as the eye becomes blind without the sun, without you we are blind. Text 480. O lotus-eyed one, when you give us up and go to Mathura Mandal, within which is Braja, desiring to see your friends such as Nanda, every moment is like 1 million years. Madhun means the area of Mathura, within which is Braja. When the inhabitants spoke, there were no relatives left in Mathura, since they had all been transferred to Dwarka. Right? So he's making the point is he's not just going, some can say, well, he's just going to Mathura. But no, there's no one left in Mathura to go to. They've all gone to Dwarka. So he would be going to Braj. Purport. The word Madhu refers to Mathura. How can it refer to Braj? Because Braj is within Mathura area. It must refer to Braj. Why? There were no friends in Mathura city. Quote, by the strength of his energy, the Lord brought all the inhabitants of Mathura to Dwarka. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:50-57. Because the verse says, all, no one was left there. Thus, the only friends living there were Nanda and the coward people in one part of the Mathura district. Text 481. Moreover, that Krishna went to Mathura on his chariot, and after killing Dantavakra and his brother Vidurata, arrived at Braja, is clearly stated in the Padma Purana. Someone may object that there is no statement saying that Krishna returned to Braja. Oh, this is the purport. On his chariot, to give scriptural proof, the author now quotes from the Padma Purana. Text 482. Here is the prose section of the Padma Purana. Killing Dantavakra, Krishna crossed the Jamuna River and arrived at Nanda Braja. When he greeted his parents, who were shedding tears, they embraced him. He offered respects to all the elder cowherd men and comforted them. He satisfied them all with ornaments studded with many jewels and diamonds. Padma Purana 6:279-24-26. Text 483. Krishna continually enjoyed with the gopis on the pleasant bank of the Jamuna, covered with attractive trees. Wearing the clothing of a cowherd, he spent 2 months there filled with the rasa of prema, absorbed in the joy of pleasant pastimes. Masa dvayam uvasa, shone brightly for 2 months, here means he enacted his manifested pastimes for 2 months. Text 484. A verse of explanation. Utirya, which literally means crossing over, here means he purified himself after killing the demon by taking a bath, since he did not have to cross the Jamuna to go from Mathura to Vrindavan. Yeah, because Mathura and Vrindavan are on the same side. So therefore, cross over means took bath. Purport. The author comments on the Padma Purana statement. 485. Moreover, in the manifested pastimes, the separation from Krishna is actually very short. 3 months. Thus it may be said that in the three dhammas, Krishna eternally performs pastimes. Purport. With the word atta, the author introduces a related idea. The pastimes in all three places are eternal. Right, because he's saying it's only for a short amount of time. So if you take 3 months out of eternity, you still have eternity. Right? So he's saying it still goes on, and it doesn't have a problem. 486. There are other facts mentioned in relation to Krishna's return to Braja, mentioned in the Padma Purana. Purport. Well, because the Padma Purana says that Krishna took Nanda and others to Vaikuntha, the pastimes will no longer be present in Braja. How then can the pastimes in Braja be eternal? Right? This is the doubt that comes up. To answer that question, the author introduces the present topic. 487. It is said in the Padma Purana, all persons present in Braja, headed by Nanda, along with their wives and sons, cows, animals, and birds, attain spiritual forms by the mercy of Vasudeva. They mounted an airplane and went to the supreme Vaikuntha planet. Padma Purana 6279-27. Vasudeva here refers to the Krishna who appeared through Vasudeva and later merged with Nanda's son. By his mercy, the inhabitants attained spiritual forms suitable for Vaikuntha. 488. Krishna sent the Amsa of Nanda, named Drona, who had prayed to have Krishna as his son in his previous birth, as well as the other Amsas who had descended for pastimes on earth, to Vaikuntha. This was the proper action. Krishna performs pastimes eternally in Vrindavan with the inhabitants of Gokula, who are dearer than the dearest persons. Purport. Krishna established the principle Nanda and others in the unmanifest Braja, and he remained with them. Because you have principle, and then you have these expansions. 490. Saumitra speaks of this in the Ayodhya Mahatmya of the Skanda Purana. Quote, but how can you say that Drona and others merged? Okay. In the purport here, this will be another doubt. But how can you say that Drona and others merged into Nanda and others during the earthly pastimes, and then later emerged from them and went to Vaikuntha? This is something unheard of. The author quotes an example from Skanda Purana to illustrate this. 491. There it is said, Then, while everyone was looking, Indra spoke in a sweet voice to Lakshmana, who is always true to his promise, and within whom Sesha had merged. Purport. Lakshmana had undergone a merging with Sesha. Sesha, who holds up the Bhumandala below Patala Loka, remained merged into Lakshmana, who is Sankarsana, in the Chatavyuha, and who had appeared when Rama advented on earth. When the work of helping the Devatas was completed, Sesha emerged from Lakshmana and went to Patala again, and Lakshmana went to the spiritual world. It is not unprecedented that the Amsa merges into the Amsi, and then emerges later. Rather, it is confirmed by the scriptures. Right, so this thing of them merging and then unmerging, that's not a problem. Right? At least they don't have a problem. Maybe we have a problem. Maybe. Right. So then these forms were merged in Nanda and everybody at the same time as then they emerge and then they all go to Vaikuntha. Right? Well, because the pastimes in Goloka and in Gokula are eternal. They're always going on. But it's not that they can't have this other pastime of going from one to the other. So they get all the tastes. 493. Then, having said this, Indra, the king of the Devatas, surrounded by the Devatas, established Sesha, who was capable of holding up the weight of the earth, in Patala. He then reverently had Lakshmana ascend the vehicle. Indra then returned to Svarga. Desiring to make his pastimes in Dwarka unmanifested, Krishna himself brought about the pretext of the curse of the sage. Right? Then you have a reason why they're not manifest. Right? Because they could be manifest or not manifest as the Lord's will. But then the problem is we always want an answer. You know, how did this happen? Right? So therefore he has the appearance pastimes, where then his associates then make that appearance where we can see them. They become manifest. And then there's a disappearance pastime, so that then there's a natural reason why they become unmanifest. But in the unmanifest state, the apricot, all the pastimes are always going on.
they also emerge and all that?
It's not necessarily there, because then the point is the pastimes are going on here, but those who will take part in those pastimes are, let's say, around the universe. Then they're around the universe. Does that make sense? At the same time as those, all those, because of the they all, that mood is already there, so you can say that's already there. So the aspect that Drona brings out that you may not, that makes it a particular uniqueness, you know, or Vasudev brings out that makes it a uniqueness, then that is already present within them. And it's just that aspect that comes out, and that becomes, just like Krishna has all the moods of the avatars are all in Krishna. Right? So the same way is that all the amshas of the amshi is also there. Does that make sense? Purport. Here the author describes the eternal pastimes in Dwarka. When Swayam Bhagavan Krishna appeared on earth, Kiradakshaya or Aniruddha entered into him, and portions of the devatas entered into the yadus. When Krishna disappeared from Dwarka, Kiradakshaya and the devata amshas returned to their abodes. Krishna, however, stayed in Dwarka with his close associates, but unmanifest. Right? In other words, the unmanifest pastimes is only the eternal residence. That's why it's non-different from Goloka. But when the manifest pastimes, then all the new wallas can come. All the jivas that are coming up and trying to perfect themselves within and become part of the pastimes, that's where then they come into the scene. Does that make sense? Right? And so that's therefore all the devatas and everything else that are there, all the other incarnations, will all come and take part in those pastimes. Does that make sense? In other words, you have the original. They're expanding throughout the cosmic creation. Does that make sense? So when the original is manifest here, then naturally all those other manifestations then are present there within the original, since they started from the original anyway. You know, it's like sampa. Right? If you start with om, then you have the verse, you end with om. Right? So it's always... Right? So you have Goloka and Gokul the same. There's all the expansions. So naturally, when this one is there, all the expansions will be included. Does that make sense? Yes.
And for the other one, it's like a training period.
Training period. Yes, because the point is you only, the process of devotional service develops through association. Right? So if there's no association, you won't develop. So we're associating on the platform of sadhana, and we're developing sadhana. But you have to be able to associate with those on the platform of prema to develop prema. Does that make sense? Therefore, then the opportunity is given that the conditioned souls can meet the eternal associates. Right? Then meeting them, then they can progress further and developing their mood. So then one develops that prema. Then one becomes an eternal part of the pastime.
Just kind of happen in Prakat, the meeting.
This happens in Prakat. Yeah. That's the standard. It can, Prabhupada mentions, that you have advanced souls who, while within this body, are still taking part in the pastimes and the aprakat. And so they'll develop that association and everything and that. And so if they leave at that time, then they'll go to that position and continue from there and then get to prema. If they get to prema while still within this body, then they've already been involved in the Gokul pastimes. Not in the prakat, but in the aprakat. Right? So everybody's going through Gokula. It's just a matter of the standard is everybody goes through the prakat. Right. But you can also, some will go through the apricot, so they'll still go from here straight to Goloka, because they already have prema. In other words, you can't be in Goloka if you don't have prema. You can be in Gokula and not have prema. That's the...
What's the bare minimum to make it to...
Remembering Krishna at the time of death. You do that, even if you're at the stage of a neophyte, you'll get there. But the point is you have to continue from that position of neophyte to get to prema. Like that. You'll have been purified of all the material conditioning, but your particular attachment to Krishna won't be any different than it is here. But you will have nothing standing in the way. Like here, we have our conditioning standing in the way. There, in that situation, there won't be any conditioning standing in the way. So it makes it much easier to move forward. Right? Remember there was that special word that was given? The Acharya gave that word for the devotee when he's there. In other words, he's on we use Brahma Bhuta to indicate the situation of the devotee in Brahman, as opposed to Mukti for the non-devotee. Right? But there was a word that was given about because he has that interest in Krishna, his being in the neutral state or in the tatastha state is actually dynamic. And so because of that, that's why they move forward into prema. Yes.
Remembering Krishna, that's kind of a vague term.
No, it's very specific. Krishna meaning person.
Well, it is conceptually one person. Remembering Krishna would be very different from another.
But the point is, that's about how much you can understand of what's there. Just like I'm seeing you and the ant is crawling on your arm, you're the same person. Perception is different. It's not that there's no different Krishna. Otherwise, we end up it's an expansion of the point where if we see the souls as all different, that's vision in the mode under the control of passion, because we see the quality of the souls are different, but the quality of the souls are the same. They're all transcendental. They're all eternal associates of the Lord, servants of the Lord. So in the same way is seeing that it's different Krishna. No, it's the same Krishna.
Well, non-rupa.
Yeah, but
where a person may be alone now.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Point is you remember Krishna, you go to him. It's simple like that. But the point is you still have to get to prema. Gokula means that's where you get trained to develop prema. So in other words, if someone had come to a sakti here, and then went to Gokula, he would start from that platform. He would have that attachment for Krishna, so immediately you'd be trying to find Krishna. Right? If we're on the platform of Nishtha, we'd be fixed. So we'd be there, we'd be dutiful, we'd do the things, opportunity comes up, we'll take it. But we may not be looking for it as such a drive. If we're in the neophyte stage, then it's occasionally we think of Krishna. So in the same way, when you get to Gokula, occasionally you'll remember Krishna. But because Braja is about Krishna, then the Udipan is much more, so there's more opportunities. But still, you have to take advantage of it. We're an individual. We have to take advantage. That's the point. So that's why a neophyte can go back to Godhead if he remembers Krishna. But the point is he still has to get from that beginning stage, right? He's only just getting accustomed to the idea of Braja Bhakti, which is the first stage of five in Bhav Sadhana. So when that's adjusted with, then his position within that in relationship to Krishna according to his form, right? And then he has to start that process of remembering Krishna to the point of samadhi. Once he gets to samadhi, then we're talking, it gets dynamic. So it always gets dynamic in the middle. That's where it starts. So when you get to ruchi, it becomes dynamic. Right? It's stable at nishta, but it becomes dynamic at ruchi. Right here in sadhana. So it's the same there. It's that the beginning stages are slower. You get to that middle stage, then it picks up, and after that, then it's extremely quick. Yes.
So can we say in the same way that training happens in the dham, it's quicker. The training that we're getting.
Oh, the training. Okay. Somehow or another. Do you say training in happiness?
No, happens in the dham.
Training happens in the dham, not the dham. I thought you said feigning happiness in the dham. We get more benefit. The material world is, there's no happiness, but you know, so therefore you just kind of go along with it. You know? Okay. Training that we get in the dham, yes, it's 1,000 times quicker. So that's the point. Take advantage of it. Otherwise, you can do other things 1,000 times quicker also. Yeah, you want to get in Maya, it's 1,000 times quicker here. So that's why it's recommended as a standard that you come for 3 days and go away. So because in 3 days, you'll think, yeah, I'm in the Dham, and really, really go for it for 3 days. After 3 days, you start relaxing. Right? But if you don't, you can still appreciate that it's the Dham and that. Then you stay longer, then that's natural, because it's recommended that you live in the holy place. So that's the specialness of Vrindavan and Mayapur, is you get that 1,000 times the benefit. Right? Other holy spots, you get the benefit of the transcendental. So it is transcendental, but that's what's special about the Dhams. It's 1,000 times more than that. So one day here is equal to 10 days somewhere, anywhere else. Probably gives that example. So it's, yeah.
Maharaj, the devotee is progressing through in the meditation.
Right.
In that meditation, are they being placed somewhere in Manifest Gokul in another universe?
It's just wherever, and it doesn't have to, there's already one here. Because the point is the pastimes are going on, so you can take part in the pastimes. So wherever it is, it doesn't matter, it's the same place. You know, it's just like you have the sun and it's reflecting in so many pots of water. You know, so which one should you take? It doesn't matter, they're all the same. But it doesn't matter. It's the pastimes, because you're only remembering. You're going by what you have heard from scripture, heard from the authorities, and then what Krishna is revealing to you. You know, and then slowly it expands from there. So it doesn't. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
So you're having a problem with that in your meditation.
That wasn't the stumbling block. Other more significant one.
Like a piece of blueberry cheesecake.
The tongues are big ones.
Yeah, okay.
But thank you.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jainatai Gaurapling.
It would be nice if that were the level of what's on.
Yes, these producers are so far away, you know, this is so close.
Only
probably need a rainbow for that one.
Where did
we start?
15. 15?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's definitely a
legend. Okay. So how many more do we have?
Not that many.
Okay, we have 14 pages. Okay, so yeah, we could finish before we drop the one class.
Tomorrow.
We have tomorrow, but we might be able to get in 2 days next week. I'm not sure.
But no Monday, definitely.
No Monday, definitely.
At all.
No.
And Tuesday might be.
Tuesday might be.
So there's classes at all on Monday?
No classes at all. On Monday? Yeah, on Monday. And from Friday, then we will go down to one class.
Okay.
Yeah, Friday will be the first day that we start just one class a day.
6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Because they start holidays.
The holidays on Friday.
On Friday.
Yeah. I mean, I don't. Generally, there's not necessarily any connection between what schedule we're following and they're following like that. In other words, all the three schools have their own schedules. You know, so sometimes it gets a little weird because once a year and then there's that. And yeah, we had that where the parents still have school, the kids are home.
And then when you have the boy and the girl, then they have vacations at different times. So then you have all these things.
The Sunday overlap 2 days.
Which the girls and
the girls' boys.
Okay. Girls have later. Last longer.
Yes, no, the girls' ones always longer. Their holidays are always longer.
2 days later.
But a boy's only goes, I think, just a few days.
Yeah, 4 or 5 days.
You have 2 days there together.
Oh, okay, yeah. Wouldn't let anyone get into a tap.
So then it's great.
Yeah, that's the thing, after 3 days, it's just a new break, you know, get a tap.
So when will you know whether there's going to be the afternoon class, Tuesday and Thursday?
Sadly, probably by the weekend.
Okay.
So I'm not sure how we'll have to let Shanti know, or...
Yeah, maybe...
Subhekshan Mishai, like that, and then you can kind of let everyone know. Because I really don't know how... Because normally we would, from tomorrow would be the normal last class. I'm only seeing because... The connection with all the GBC stuff starts a little bit later. Mm. So then we might be able to get in 2 days. Normally we don't. Mm. I'm only thinking about it just so we finish up. Yes. And if we finish up tomorrow, then we don't have to worry about it. Then we'll only run the morning class.
Okay. So we'll try to keep the issues at the bay.
Well, because I don't know what will happen in the afternoon time. But there's a chance that there may be no problem. And sometimes they get so many things happening.
Also, there are some mind-bending points in the last part of the study guide, so
all mind questions.
Yeah.
That's the thing about it, is the acharyas that expand how you view it, because the absolute truth is given, and we get a understanding according to how much we can handle that point. But the point, these things can expand. The principle remained the same. But you're able to expand that to accommodate more and more. So that's what we're dealing with. We have this thing, but how we're working, and we're only worried about this, but we can accommodate these other aspects. That's the glory of our philosophy. Others generally don't, as a regular study, get into this kind of level of discussion. Because they keep it more simple and direct, so that, because people are only dealing with the Shuddha Dvait, Vishishta Dvait, Dvait, like that, they don't have to deal with more. But because we're dealing with all these contradictory elements, like in Vaikuntha, Lakshmi is always right wing, like that. So that's why it's surprised, Narad Muni is surprised when he sees in Harapanchami that Lakshmi is coming out and acting like she's left wing. Right? And then, you know, it gets back to the palace, and she closes the door, right? Like that. So he has to dress up and everything, because she is Lakshmi. She's impressed by the offer. Okay. So you get you that element is there. But in Vrindavan, then the prominence is the left wing, not the right wing. And so that's where your contradictory qualities come out. Very much. And so, therefore, to deal with that as Krishna reciprocates, then there'll be the contradictory qualities there. Seemingly contradictory qualities. So, that's why on the Chintabheda Veda Tattva you can work at these finer levels, because you're dealing with aspects of rasa. So, we can accommodate all these things. For us, what's considered, you know, something very technical in that, for us, it's just normal stuff. For us, what's special is the understanding of the rasa. But these aspects are just facts, and that for us is not a major element. So because of that, we can deal with facts that others have a hard time digesting. Does that make sense? Like, you don't bring these things up, because that's what Rupa Goswami is doing. He's saying, Vishrakshena says like this, and Ramanuja says like that, because they can understand, we have the same philosophy up to one point. And then after that, we continue on beyond that to these finer things that aren't in opposition to what they're saying. It's just they don't think in those areas. Because you don't have to if you're dealing with the Lord in Majesty. Because He's always God. But when you're dealing with them, that he's acting in the human pastimes, not as God, that requires more subtlety. So that's why then these things come out, and they're useful in that because of that. It's not that it's, the facts are important from that aspect, but they're to understand, so we understand, I mean, so we're able to appreciate these fine points that come up in the pastimes. How he's able to deal with all these things at once.
It's like associating with Rupa Goswami, who is having an issue with Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, or,
yes,
something like that, and then he'll open up the whole thing so that you can understand how,
yes,
that works.
Yes. Yeah. You know, so it's fine. Then you appreciate more, because then the rasa becomes more. In other words, it's one person, there's all these different flavors. Because like I mentioned, the gopis, they don't see a difference. It's, for them, it's one person. Even when he's performing his pastimes as Ramachandra, it's still Krishna. Right? They don't have an interest to interact with Krishna in that mood. But it's still, for them, it's the same person. You know, just like the son goes to school and learns his, you know, history. But it's not that the mother wants to interact with him on that level, but she knows it's him doing that. Or he's out in the field playing ball with the other kids. Not that she wants to get out there and take a few swings. It's just, but it's all part of the thing. She has what aspect of the relationship is important to her. So that's the thing, is the Brajavasis can appreciate all the other realms, but the taste is in Braj. While the other realms can deal with wherever they're situated and below, but above, not necessarily many can. So it's more rare. Narad Muni is one who can. Sukadeva is one who can. Bhishma is one who can. Right? He's a, Bhishma is a Vaikuntha man. But he can appreciate the rasa, that the specialness, the mercy that the gopis have with Krishna. Same with Narad. He's a Vaikuntha man. So there's those also. There's ones that can appreciate that way. Though their taste is in Vaikuntha. Like that. So that's the level you're trying to get to. Then that way you can accommodate. And when you can accommodate all that, that's when you can actually be a really good preacher. So you can accommodate without changing your position. Many times devotees accommodate, let's say, an area where they're preaching, and then they start to take on those qualities, right? You know, you're preaching down there on the street and everything, and then you won't notice one day in the shower that, you know, the guy who's doing that's got a tattoo, you know, and that, and then when he puts on his pants and all that, he's got a chain. You know, you just start seeing all these things. So the thing, they change. But the point is no, you can do just what you're doing and not change. Prabhupada didn't change like that. And he moved with everything. There isn't any class of person that we're preaching to now that he didn't deal with then. And he did it just as himself. So that's because he can accommodate everything. That's what a Chintamata Veda Tattva. Vaishnavism will do that anyway. But the subtlety of it in a Chintamata Veda Tattva is very special. So you can talk to someone on their level about what they deal with, and at the same time you can see Krishna in it. So then when you get the opportunity, then you make the connection. And then they've already understood how to connect their life to Krishna, and they haven't even started with the details of you know, the Vaishnava lifestyle or anything. But they've already caught that whole thing. So that's the first thing you want to do. So that's the specialness.
So Vaikuntha is going up to Dwarka, or are there
Dwarka is considered, you know, the your first amongst the Vaikuntha plans.
But there is some aspects of Majesty in Mathura as well. So does that mean?
Yes, but Dwarka is where you see the Chaturvyuha performing their pastimes, because Mathura is Mahanarayan.
But isn't that also Vaikuntha?
This is Mahanarayan as we understand, not how the Shris are understanding. Because they're taking Mahanarayan to be the Narayan in the center of all the... It means you have Mahanarayan, then around him, then you have the 12, and then they expand to make the 24. Right? So then that will go on and after there. Then that expands to the next one, and then go out like that. So, well, for us, is there's before that. Because Dwarka is after that. Or the Chaturvyuha are after but that's mata. So it's different because it has that element of that sweetness, but at the same time as it has the other, because that's why we see the Mathura Vasis went to Dwarka.
Yeah.
So you have that symbol, but then they go into that, they can manifest the Vaikuntha element. Because in Dwarka, you have all the five rasas, that's what's special. But they like to express their love through rules. So the majesty is less important than in Vaikuntha. Because the Vaikuntha becomes more important, therefore you can only have one rasa. That's servitorship. Lakshmi is there, but she's, you know, in another category. But no one else is on that platform. But in Dwarka, then there are others. There's maid servants, there's 16,000 wives, there's a lot more happening.
I'm just asking because later on in the study guide it said that Vrindavan is part of Mathura. It's not the other way around. But it's kind of, that's what I mean about mind-bending.
Because the aspect of that sweetness is there, but it's just the one is just in its pure form and the other. So in other words, it's a district, but it's not that this is not the core. It's just like the soul is within the body, but which of the two is more important? Where does the life come from?
The soul.
Yeah, so it's like that. So that's the far out thing. The most mind bending things aren't actually mind bending.
No.
They're very simple.
So I don't have to ask that question tomorrow.
Okay. Okay.